the Allstate Skyline Studio.
WGN Radio presents a conversation.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear.
A dialogue.
What are you prepared to do?
An astute debate.
Everything within the law.
And a peek behind the curtain of politics.
And then what are you prepared to do?
I think Chicago is not only the center of the country, I think it's the center of the world.
Don't tread on them.
Where did this statement come from?
This is the Sunday Spin. Your host is the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and welcome to this edition of the Sunday Spin for December the 23rd, 2018. Happy holidays, everybody. A very Merry Christmas to you all. This is our special holiday edition of the Sunday Spin as we take a look at the world of politics and policy going from City Hall to the State House and all the way out to the White House. So time to grab that Sunday paper, get that hot cup of coffee, and we'll do our best to get your holiday week off to a great start. Well, I'm finally starting to get in the Christmas spirit. And I have to admit, and I told Dave this earlier, that I'm still not done shopping. But like yesterday, I just had to quit. I just had to say, I quit.
You need to just kind of say, enough for now.
Yeah.
And I need a break.
And so. I'm almost done, but I got a chance to have lunch yesterday downtown with my daughters, and since I'm going to be out of town for Christmas, so we just did like little tchotchke stuff because we'll do bigger Christmas, you know, coming up. But so one of the things I got, and this could be the topper of Christmas presents that I'll ever get. It's a Zamboni gravy boat.
Oh, yeah.
See, Dave, that's exactly the reaction, because I'm looking.
Oh, if that isn't for you.
I'm opening, pulling out the box out of a gift bag, and it's got, you know, the kind of the Blackhawks red on it, and I'm going, okay, a bobblehead or something, but it feels kind of heavy. And I look at it, and it's a ceramic Blackhawk Zamboni gravy boat. And the thing was, this actually was a giveaway at the United Center before Christmas. And I'm trying to think. Now, obviously, I love it, okay? But are there really that many people that are interested in having a Zamboni gravy boat on their table?
Whoever made it had you in mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, one of my daughters was at the game for the giveaway, and she gets this thing, and she's like, what am I going to do with this? And then immediately the light bulb pops off, and it's like, okay, Christmas for Dad. So I love the thing, but I'm never going to use it. I mean, it's now sitting in a prominent place in my workstation over at the Tribune.
Nice.
I hope it stays there. I'm kind of thinking it's kitschy enough that no one will touch it.
Just leave it alone.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want that.
But just great. And engineer Bob was very nice. He got me a winter classic scarf, and
that is a beautiful
scarf. I'm going to be going to the game, and I know Andy. I told Andy this story off the air, but I walked by the pop up store for the winter classic on Michigan Avenue here, and I needed a new Blackhawks hat, and they had very nice winter classic Blackhawks hat with the C and the tomahawks in gold on black, and it was like really very nice. And so I go in to get the hat, and while I'm there, this young woman comes in and says to one of the clerks, can you tell me where the Bruins section is? And I immediately erupted in laughter, and she looks at me kind of, you know, like, what's with you? And the clerk thankfully said, perhaps you didn't see the sign. This is the Winter Classic Blackhawks store. And she goes, oh, so you don't have anything from Boston here? And he goes, no.
That would be in Boston.
Yes. Off you go. Off you go. Go find somewhere else to play. This is not, this is the Blackhawks town. So, Yeah, I'm going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it.
Should be cool.
I've never been to a Winter Classic before. And
yeah, I was telling you, I was at the first one.
Yeah, and I would have loved to have gone to that one at Wrigley, but I just knew it was going to be a mess.
You know, it actually worked out pretty well. I mean, it was everybody was just so into it because
it was a hockey game
at Wrigley
for one thing,
right?
And it was, you know, it was a little cold. It was snowing a little bit. And then,
Detroit.
And it was Detroit. The first couple of periods were really, really good. And then, of course, things happened. But it was the precursor to things that were going to be happening in the future there for the Hawks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But it was pretty cool. I mean, just being over there with the flyover and the national anthem and everything that was going on there was pretty cool.
Well, and it was part of that great rebuild of the Blackhawks.
Yep.
I mean, to make the franchise relevant again in this city.
That was huge.
And I have to tell you, I'm kind of jacked about these three wins in a row.
You should be.
I think there's still problems.
Mm-hmm.
It was great to see both goalies stand up,
mm-hmm,
and turn in great performances. Because the defense, to me, is still very porous.
It is.
And
it's getting better, but it's still very porous.
And I get frustrated with the idea that you can clear the zone by trying a backhanded pass.
Mm-hmm. Especially in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Really not a good idea.
No.
Not a good idea at all. But, you know, you mentioned the goalies. And Cam Ward had a fantastic
game the other day.
And he's the one that called everybody out, basically, in the dressing room. After the San Jose game, where they lost not only the game, but they lost Corey Crawford in that one as well. And he basically challenged everybody, and himself included, you know, to step it up and get better, because they were better than what they were showing.
Well, that's what we kept saying every Sunday, Andy, is they're better than this.
Exactly. And I think now they're starting to grasp the concepts that Jeremy Colliton is bringing in. I don't think they're very much hugely different than those of Coach Q, maybe defensively a little bit, but... You know, now you're getting some contributions from some of the younger guys. There's some energy around it. And, it always helps when you win to be able to teach off a win rather than teach off a loss.
Well, I think I termed it on Twitter the other night that I said, you know, not necessarily have we turned a corner, but maybe we've just stabilized a little bit.
Yeah, I think that
makes sense.
Yeah, the ship is leveled, you know, it's kind of leveled off. And, you know, you hope, I mean, and the thing is, if they were beating the also-rans and they won three in a row, you'd say, okay, well, they're beating some really bad teams.
Right.
I mean, but they beat Nashville, they beat Dallas the other night. I mean, these are not the throwaway games, and they're division games.
Right.
And they beat Colorado. So it's three straight division wins.
No, I mean, it's good to see. Good to see. And I'm back in it. I'm back in it.
Both feet,
I'll admit,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I it's not like I'm, you know, going to predict any great ending here.
No.
But now you're proving again why it's worth going to see the game.
Yeah. I mean, you're like every fan. I mean, because every fan, you know, of this era of Blackhawks hockey got so used to wins that you don't know what to do when they don't win.
Well, remember, I went through the 60s
well, yeah,
and 70s
this,
and 80s
I'm talking
and
about
90s.
This era specifically of Blackhawks hockey, where
yes,
a lot of fans came to the party a little late, which is fine, you know,
right,
more the merrier, right? But I think a lot of us just kind of figured, okay, well, this team's always going to win. They're always going to win. They're always going to win. And when you don't win, it's like, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah, you should have been there watching the 1973 Game 7 at Chicago Stadium against Montreal. I was not there, of course. I was with my dad at one of his local saloons, which had a high-rise aerial.
Oh, nice.
So it could pick up the game from the Rockford, I think, NBC affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, it was blacked out here in Chicago.
No games here, yeah.
A seventh game of the Stanley Cup Finals in Chicago.
Yeah,
the old days. So, yeah, I've lived through a lot with these guys.
I remember my first memories of them going to the stadium mid-70s, and it was a lot of fun to go there. But as you point out, you couldn't watch the games on TV, and it was very difficult to grow a fan base. I think Rocky understood that immediately.
Oh, he did.
And took care of that right away.
Well, and Rocky's book is just... That book is fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, you have to read it.
I will.
Because, I mean, it's I'll tell you, it's a no holds barred story about the Wirtz family.
Yep, the empire that they built.
But there were also things I had forgotten. Like, there was a time, not only was Bill Wirtz so anti-home TV, but there was a time, apparently, when they didn't, on the radio, you didn't hear Lloyd Pettit till the second period.
Mm.
They didn't even play the first period on the radio because he was so paranoid that he didn't want about getting people to the stadium on time.
Yeah, he didn't want,
him sitting in the car listening.
I'll never forget the quotes. I don't want to do a disservice to my season reservation holders.
Yeah. It's just...
Times have changed.
Times
thankfully.
Have sure changed, haven't they?
Thankfully.
And for the better. Yes, indeed. Yes. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Winter Classic at Notre Dame, and that should be a lot of fun. Went my first football game ever there last year against Navy, and just the history, and it's just a great place. Just a great place.
That is a great place to see a game.
Yes, it is. And but in the meantime, I still have some Christmas shopping to do. And I'll try to get that out of the way. And then I'm off to Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Nice.
A little Cajun Christmas.
Jules Noël.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
I'm not going to try.
That's, I'm excited. I'm excited. And I love Cajun food, too. So I have a feeling I will be... bringing back about 5 pounds of frozen crawdaddy tails for some homemade crayfish etouffee when I get back.
Oh.
I may bring some leftovers for breakfast.
I can just smell that now, even with this cold I have. I can just taste it.
Well, I could doctor that up enough that it'll cure that cold.
Yep.
I should.
I loaded up on some jalapenos yesterday.
You know,
to help.
Yeah, that's temporary relief. If you had told me, I might have made the Paul Prudhomme Chicken Big Bamboo on pasta for you.
Ooh.
Now, this is chicken spaghetti, except it's Cajun with Cajun spices and a red sauce, kind of a red, white, black pepper. All kinds of, and my daughters, when they were younger, and they were not into spicy foods and things like that, except when they got a cold, instead of wanting homemade chicken soup, they wanted the Cajun chicken pasta, and it will clear your sinuses. and I don't make it. Frankly, I have to admit, because of the girls, I made it half spice from what the recipe called for. But even then, you'll get a little sweat on the brow.
I think they serve this at the restaurant there, too, at K. Paul?
They could very well. They may very well. But the great thing about this is that the leftovers, as they sit, they get
it just gets
spicier and spicier and spicier. And it is, yes, it is just wonderful by the end. There is no doubt about it.
It was one of the best meals I have ever had at
K. Paul's
in New Orleans.
Oh, it's, yes. And I actually got to go into the kitchen.
I remember you telling me that story.
It was during the Republican convention down there, I think it was 1988. And went there for, and the waiter asked if I had the cookbook, and I said, well, I do, but if the chef's in, I'd be happy to, you know, if he'd autograph it, I'll buy another one. He goes, well, where are you from? And I said, from Chicago. He goes, I'll be right back. And he comes back, and he goes, come with me, the chef will see you now. It's like, whoa, I'm meeting Paul Prudhomme, this is great, right? Go back to the kitchen. And he goes, so Yankee, you got this book?
Yankee,
you got this book? I said, yeah. He goes, well, what do you cook out of it? And I named a couple of recipes, including Chicken Big Mamu. And he goes, you really cook from this? I said, yeah. He goes, put on an apron. Make me some roux. So he was testing me. Man was testing me. And so I got all of the ingredients together and started making the roux, and I turned to him, and I said, Chef, I just have one question. He goes, what's that, Yankee? I said, what color? And he says, dark. Now, if you don't know what roux is basically oil and flour, but you got to keep stirring it so it doesn't burn, okay? Because the flour has got it, you got to just keep it moving. It's a lot of work, but it's kind of, that's your base for a lot of Cajun cooking. And as the longer it cooks, the browner it gets. And dark is almost like chocolate, dark chocolate brown. It also, if you get it on your skin, it is molten lava. It is automatic.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to think about
third
that,
degree
that
burns. And of course, I knew he was going to say dark just to really stick it to me.
When you say oil, but, are you talking olive oil?
No. You vegetable oil?
Vegetable oil.
Yeah, no, it's nothing fancy there. Mm-hmm. An olive oil actually has a higher temperature. Sets at a higher temperature, and you don't want to use that for roux. You want to have it all kind of go together.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to a little bit of Cajun Christmas this year, and I hope I know Dave, you got the ham for Christmas
all ready to go
with your dad.
Looking forward to it. Smoked ham. Put that in the oven Christmas morning for about 4 hours and let that just simmer. Ready.
Put it on.
Ready now.
Put it on the grill.
You should.
Serious.
Yeah, you should.
I'm serious.
You could do that. Yeah.
I have.
Yeah.
The one thing I think I told you this, though. The one thing I learned was if you do use like charcoal and wood is don't make soup out of the bone because all of the smoke gets caught into the marrow of the bone.
Ah, yeah. Yeah,
no,
this is a boneless ham, actually.
It's boneless.
It's a boneless ham.
Okay, all right. Well, but you'll have bean soup then.
We'll have bean soup. We'll have scalloped potatoes with the extra, and nothing like a ham sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
And
get some good Swiss.
What, a good Swiss. And my dad found a bakery that makes their own rye bread.
Ooh.
So
ooh.
There's the bread for the sandwich.
Yum. Yum. Well, you'll bring leftovers for next Sunday, right?
I can do that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You going anywhere, Andy? Or
I'm just trying to figure out what movie I'm going to go watch and maybe which Chinese restaurant to go visit.
Yes, indeed.
It's tradition, you know.
Dim sum.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think that Dick Cheney movie is starting Christmas Day.
Ah, okay. That's that. I still haven't seen Bohemian Rhapsody. So I got to find that.
Oh, well, that's an automatic.
Yeah, I guess that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. You just got to do that. I want to see that. Yeah. I still haven't seen that yet. Well, Dave's here to keep us up to date on all the news. Andy has the latest sports. Producer Cassara is fielding your phone calls. We're at 312-981-7200. You can text us at 312-981-7200. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/thesundayspin. We're on Twitter at @SundaySpin. Engineer Bob's still trying to fix the Christmas tree lights here in the studio. Remember, you can find all of our shows on WGNRadio.com, and you can also get our podcast at iTunes by searching for my name, Rick Pearson. Up ahead, it's our annual pre-Christmas show as we try to lighten things up with a little music throughout the conversation as we take a look at the year in review with Brian Bernadoni, the Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy at the Chicago Association of Realtors, and Eric Elk, Founder and President of Fulcrum, Illinois. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. Our special pre-Christmas Sunday Spin. As I mentioned, our guests later after 8 o'clock, Brian Bernadoni, Senior Director of Government Affairs and Public Policy at the Chicago Association of Realtors, and Eric Elk, who's the founder and president of Fulcrum, Illinois, and we'll kind of take a look at the year that was, interspersed with some holiday music. A special shout-out, by the way, to Carrie Bernadoni for the wonderful zucchini bread with interspersed with little bits of chocolate chips. I normally don't aspire for breakfast or anything, and I got to put that zucchini bread away. I'm sorry. You guys go for it. But thank you, Carrie. Thank you so much for the special treat. Well, one of the things I like to do this time of year on the show is revisit the University of Illinois Ripcords, which is one of the preeminent a cappella groups at the University of Illinois. My eldest daughter was a member of the group, and back in 2011, they did a just kind of an impromptu Christmas album, literally impromptu. And it's a lot of beautiful songs, and I like to play some of that on our pre-Christmas show. So let's start out with a little bit of Jingle Bells, courtesy of the University of Illinois Ripcords.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Day or two ago, the story I must tell, I went out on the snow, and on my back I fell. A gent was riding by in a one-horse open sleigh. He laughed at me as I there laid and quickly drove away. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Now the ground is white, go it while you're young. Take the girls along and sing the sleighing song. Just bed a bobtail bay to 40 as his speed. Hitch into an open sleigh and crack, you'll take the lead. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Something special about a cappella music, you know? Just, it's so cool. Obviously, Straight No Chaser is kind of the preeminent group. Dan Ponce, a founder of that group. Just, as I said, this was all impromptu that these ladies were able to put this together. So, how about a little bit of Santa Baby?
Ba-bum, ba-bum.
Santa baby, just left the sable under the tree for me. Then an awful good girl, Santa baby.
So hurry down the chimney tonight. Oh, yeah.
Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait for you, dear. Baby,
so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellows that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lie. Been an angel all year, Santa baby,
so hurry down the chimney tonight. Oh yeah,
Santa baby, one little thing I really do need, a deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby,
so hurry down the chimney tonight. Oh yeah,
Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks.
That's the University of Illinois Ripcords. This is from their 2011 impromptu Christmas album, and just great voices. And next up from the Rippies are the Carol of the Bells.
Little thing I really do need a deed.
Ah, little. The Rippies have a little bit of technical problem right here. We'll get that straightened out here in just a minute. But up ahead on your Sunday Spin, Brian Bernadoni from the Association of Realtors and Eric Elk, founder and president of Fulcrum, Illinois. That's up ahead. But Now, from the Ripcords, the Carol of the Bells.
Who young and old, meek and the bold, ding dong, ding dong, that is the song, which cheerful ring, all caroling, one seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pop, raising the sound, high up, while people sing songs of good cheer, Christmas is here. Merry, 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 this is the song. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. On and they send on without end their joyful tone to every home. Hark, all the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say, cares away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, pink and the bold. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song. With joyful ring, all caroling, one seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, holy bell, raising the song, while people sing songs of good cheer, Christmas is here. Ding, 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 merry, merry Christmas. Ding, 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 merry, merry Christmas. On and they send on without end their joyful tone to every home.
On they send on without end their joyful tone to every home.
Ding, dong, ding, dong.
Bum.
I like Carol of Bells, Ding Dong, Ding Dong, because there's a lot of ding dongs in this place, I'll tell you. That is WGN on a Sunday morning here in Chicago, Carol of the Bells. Let's do another one from the Ripcords from 2011. All I Want for Christmas is You.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. One thing I need, I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I don't need to hang my stocking there upon the fireplace. Santa Claus will make me happy with the toy on Christmas Day. 'Cause I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. This Christmas, I won't even wish for snow. I'm just gonna keep on waiting underneath the mistletoe. I won't make a list and send it to the North Pole for Saint Nick. I won't even stay awake to hear those magic reindeers click. 'Cause I just want you here tonight. What more can I do? Baby, all I want for Christmas is you. You, baby, ooh. All the lights are shining so brightly everywhere. And the sound of children's laughter fills the air. Everyone is singing. This is all I'm asking for. I just wanna see my baby standing right outside my door. Oh, I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. Baby, all I want for Christmas. Oh,
That's the University of Illinois Rip Chords from 2011. You're listening to a special pre-Christmas edition of The Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. This is our special pre-Christmas edition of The Sunday Spin. We're listening to some of the a cappella music from the University of Illinois Rip Chords from 2011. And next up is Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Ding dong merrily on high, oh hear the bells are ringing. Ding dong merrily the sky, oh hear the people singing. Oh hear the bells are ringing. Pray ye dutifully prime your matin shiny ringers. May ye beautifully rhyme your eve-time songy singers. Oh, hear the bells are ringing.
That is the University of Illinois Rip Chords. And next up is a song that has special meaning to me, and part of it is because the show's unofficial music director, Amanda Pearson, is the featured soloist in this. I'll Be Home for Christmas.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me, please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the
University of Illinois Rip Chords, I'll Be Home for Christmas with the featured guest soloist Amanda Pearson. We'll do one more from the Rippies. Let's hear a little bit of Deck the Halls.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa la 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 la. See the blazing Yule before us, fa la 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 la. Strike the harp and join the chorus, fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure, fa la 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 la. What I tell of yules I treasure. Fa la 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 la. Fast away the old year passes. Fa la 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 la. Hail the new ye lads and lasses. Fa la 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 la. Sing we joyous all together. Fa la 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 la. Heedless of the wind and weather. Fa la 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 la. Fa la 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 la.
We've been listening to the University of Illinois Ripcords from their impromptu 2011 Christmas holiday album. Thanks to the Rippies, both from then and the Rippies now at the University of Illinois, one of the preeminent women's a cappella groups at the flagship University of the State. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.
Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's The Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the second hour of your Sunday Spin, our special pre-Christmas edition of the Sunday Spin. A good friend of the program is Paris Schutz. Paris, the correspondent and anchor for WTTW Channel 11 Public Television in Chicago. And Paris is a man of great talents. He's a very good journalist, but he's also very good musically as well. And in fact, when we've had him on the show, we've mentioned the fact that he is actually the person who wrote the theme and performs in the theme of Chicago Tonight on Channel 11. The other night, he was talking about how he plays piano and performs in clubs occasionally. And the other night on Channel 11, he mentioned about how at clubs this time of year, he gets kind of tired of people requesting what he calls schmaltzy Christmas music. And it doesn't like to play it. And he got so tired of people requesting schmaltzy Christmas music that he decided, in his own words, to write his own schmaltzy Christmas tune. I think it's far from schmaltzy. I think it's great. A little bit of ragtime. It's called Lonesome Christmas Night. Here's Paris Schutz.
I took an express train to the station. Same old destination. Trying to make it all right on a lonesome Christmas night. I see the lovers out acting jolly, but I'm not one because of my folly. Through the cold I roam to my lonesome home, sweet home. Christmas was a favorite day of the year, but when you lost the ones you held so dear. Holidays are simply time to grieve, no gifts to give, no one to receive. Some takeout and hope this chill will shake out. Though the lights shine bright, it's just a lonesome Christmas night. Say it again, oh, for me. It's just another lonesome Christmas night.
That's The Great Paris Shuts from WTTW Channel 11. Composer, singer, pianist. He can do it all. Journalist.
All-around good guy.
Yeah, all-around good guy. And that's his newest Christmas song, Lonesome Christmas Night. So, Paris, thanks for giving us permission to play that great song, and I don't think it's schmaltzy at all. Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Skyline studio are two good friends of the show. We've got Eric Ulk. He is the founder and president of Fulcrum Illinois, which is a subsidiary of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. And Brian Bernadoni, senior director of government affairs and public policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors. And gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me here in studio this morning, and happy holidays to you both. I kind of wanted to look at this show as one where we take a look and look at the year in review. And
we don't have enough time.
I understand that. That's why you'll also be on next week, where we'll pick up the conversation as we talk about the year ahead. But
you still know, might not have enough time.
With you guys, there's never enough time.
So many tweets.
Yeah, well, we'll be continuing this conversation over at the Billy Goat later. Yeah, but you know, when you look at today, okay, so now you have the federal government shut down. We have the Senate not even going to take up anything until Thursday. No movement. Everything contingent on Mitch McConnell saying, well, we're out of this. It's the Senate. It's the Democrats, Senate Democrats in particular, and the president. They've got to cut a deal. Everybody, Merry Christmas.
It's a temper tantrum.
Well, but to me, it's somewhat apropos of what kind of a year it's been to kind of end up on this note. And I go back to just a few days ago, to Thursday. And, of course, to find out what's going on in the White House, you have to look at Twitter, right?
Right.
So on Twitter, in advance, about 15 minutes in advance of the President of the United States signing the Farm Bill. Farm Bill, very important legislation.
Right? Especially to this state, too.
Yeah, to this state and to, you know,
To the country.
In advance of signing the Farm Bill, the president tweets a video of his 2005 performance on the Emmys with Megan Mullally singing the Green Acres theme song.
Green Acres is the place to be. Farm living is the life for me. Land's spreading out so far and wide. Keeping hot, just give me that countryside.
That's the President of the United States.
Two words that come to mind, and I think mean so many different things. Tone deaf.
Remember, this is radio, okay? Tone deaf. So in this performance, he's wearing a T-shirt, overalls, and a straw hat. And Megan Mullally, to her credit, on Twitter says, hey, guys, if you're looking for me, I'm in a hole right now. What I kind of found in this is, so this is a kind of a constituency that helped get him elected, the kind of the neglected constituency, and he's signing the Farm Bill, which is so important, so crucial to that constituency.
Yep, mocking them.
And he's, yes.
Yeah.
Well, the mocking continues if you take a look at what happened with tax reform as well. And I think as they come in through into next year, they'll start finding out exactly how much this president loved them.
Well, and you know, let's take that issue and for example, and let's just look at the November election results, okay? On the federal level, on the congressional level. And I found this particularly acute Brian, for you, because we have talked in the past on the show, and we talked about during the campaign about the issue of that state and local tax deductibility and the caps on that, and how that hit hard, primarily blue states that are property tax dependent. I question whether that wouldn't be a significant factor with Peter Roskam's race, since he was the basic author.
He was the architect.
And so, obviously, he lost. But in a review of these congressional races, a preponderant number of seats were turned to Democrat that were in high property tax states.
Well, there's a couple things in there. I never thought I would see, at least within my professional lifetime, DuPage County going Democrat, not only on the congressional side, but when you start taking a look at what's going on at the county board. But there's something else happening as well, though. When you take a look at the primary, and I don't think we can skip over November without taking a look at what was going on in the primaries in March, when a guy like Dan Lipinski takes it down to the ropes in a very close race. So there's an awful lot of discontent. I think taxation is a big part of it right now and will continue on. I don't think that story goes away. Remember, most people aren't going to find out what the results are of that state and local tax deduction and the mortgage interest deduction issue until they file in April of next year. So there's going to be some flashpoints still. And while Illinois may have dealt with some of them, there are marginal legislators all across the country that are going to find out what those flashpoints really look like.
Well, no, and to that point, you know, around the country, there were 23 House seats held by Republicans that Hillary Clinton had won in her presidential election. 21 of those seats that ended up flipping in November. So, I mean, there was a big, big flip, as we all know, but it's amazing how they were able to, you know, Hillary won those seats, and then they turned around and flipped them the next cycle.
The other aspect of it was, and it was interesting, as the story started to emerge out that initially the Republicans immediately said this was no blue wave, this was nothing, because they just looked at one number. But where the organic nature of the party organic nature of the Democratic Party is starting to emerge out is what was happening at local seats across the state in state legislatures, where Democrats were showing huge gains in places that they never suspected they are. So I'm not sure that this is going away anytime soon.
We're going to take a quick break. We're speaking with Brian Bernardoni from The Realtors and Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois. I'm Rick Pearson. This is The Sunday Spin. Welcome back to The Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We're having this conversation about the year in review and kind of interspersing it with a little bit of music. So how about a little Nat King Cole?
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father, blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Now to the Lord sing praises, all you within this place, and with true love and brotherhood each other now embrace.
This holy tide of Christmas all others left to face. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
That's the great Nat King Cole. Brian Bernardoni, Eric Elk. We were talking, and Brian, you kind of referenced this a little bit, about you know, never in your lifetime seen DuPage kind of switch Democrat. And, you know, I wrote about the potential of that happening prior to the election, certainly after what happened with Hillary Clinton in 2016, and all of the collar counties except for McHenry County went for her in 2016. We saw basically that for in the governor's race as well. And, you know, I still have this curiosity of, you know, where goes the Republican Party in this state? You've lost the standard bearer, its chief funder, Bruce Rauner. I'm not sure that he'll still be as interested in subsidizing the organization.
Well, I think the election also proved up there's two different kinds of, maybe the demise of one part of the party and then whatever's left. You know, the centrist Republicans, the ones that were the, you know, moneyed but didn't really care about social policy ones, I think that's almost over now.
Well, yeah, because I think that the red districts got redder and the blue districts got bluer and the purple districts got bluer.
And then you get the other part of the party that gravitated towards Jeannie Ives, you know, that part of the party, which runs right through all of central Illinois, starts working its way down, you know, they're going to start wanting answers, too, of what this thing looks like. I'm just not sure if the financing that they need, that they generated around a candidate like Jeannie Ives, if they can find a standard bearer. And I think that's what's missing for the state, at least if I'm a Republican.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of work to be done. I think folks need to look, you know, long and hard into, you know, what matters most. Some folks were so caught up in trying to be right versus actually govern, get something done, and get a win.
Well, but I mean, there's always been kind of that standard issue,
right,
of purity,
yeah, oh, yeah,
versus, you know, winning.
Right,
I think
you'd rather be right than win.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's how you have the Republican in name only kind of stuff, because, and it's where compromise has kind of fallen off the map.
Well, you've seen guys. I mean, Governor-elect Pritzker has made some reach outs to people like Jim Edgar and others. I mean, if I'm a Jim Edgar or a Jim Thompson or anyone from that generation, which were folks that were not only able to hold the party together, but actually hold and control what was going on in state politics for a long time, there's no room for them in this current in this current party the way it's setting up right now. And again, if you don't have a strong party, you're not getting involved in really two important parts of party building. One is the fundraising, the other is recruiting candidates. A party in disarray doesn't do either of those really well.
Totally agree.
But I do think there still is that issue, and in suburbs particularly, of, you know, while we've always keyed on suburban women, the social moderate but fiscal conservative, and I still think that holds true regardless of any kind of party designation.
Completely agree. I mean, you know, years ago I'd spent time with then Congressman Mark Kirk, and we worked on an effort at the national level, in key districts around the country. And we had a program that we developed, tested. It was called the Suburban Agenda. And it was geared towards talking about issues that folks in the suburbs cared about, versus, and it was tested versus talking about things that a group of mostly
Washington-based
men thought were important. And I think that's where a lot of folks have lost their way, because, you know, they get into a room together, they think it's important, not realizing that the folks that they're talking to aren't buying the message at all.
I think it's you know, whoever wins Naperville wins the whole thing at some point. And you start taking a look at where their issues are lining up and why an African-American woman candidate can win a congressional seat. You watch those ads, they weren't geared towards the guys who were watching ESPN or listening to talk radio. They were very much geared towards women, very geared towards their issues, and they were very individualistic. I mean, she was talking about healthcare. I mean, that's at the core of a lot of this discussion.
You're listening to a pre-holiday edition of the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars move by. Yet in thy dark streets shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and wanted to dedicate that to Rod Blagojevich.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Can't help myself.
I mean, come on.
It's golden.
Oh, man.
What can I say? I mean, Brian Bernadoni from The Realtors, Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois.
Hasn't he suffered enough?
No. We haven't.
Oh, is that what it is?
We haven't.
Been suffering for a while.
Oh. Yes, and we'll continue to be. We'll continue to be.
For decades to come.
Yes. So, we talked about where goes the Republicans and that, but let's bring things closer
to home.
That's such
a tough question to ask. That's just not fair.
Well, because I don't think there's an answer. I don't think anybody knows.
Right.
And so, but let's talk about the decision by Rahm Emanuel not to seek a third term. It's, you know, we're still at, I mean, not everybody has been finally challenged out of this thing, but I mean, we still are talking, what, 10 legit candidates, roughly?
I think that's about right, but there's a whole series of things that go along with the mayor choosing not to run again. The biggest one, in my opinion, is if you've watched the mayor closely in the news over the last few weeks, you can just get this sense of, it, you know, buyer's remorse in this one. I think the mayor is so focused right now on not only running the city, but also trying to run a third term in less than 6 months. And the inertia that's behind him and the energy that's behind him, and I would also say the anger that's behind him of what's going on in the city in the last few months, just show how deep the problems are in the city and how passionate this mayor has been about trying to solve some of them. So he leaves a big gap in that. But also, I think when we start talking about the mayor's race and what happened in the year past, it's been interesting to watch how many orphans he left behind. There are a lot of candidates, a lot of aldermen that were deeply supportive of the mayor that are now finding themselves in the races of their lives. And if you take a look at how that has shifted politics, I think all you really need to do is look at how many people had jumped into the mayor's race thinking that they can fill those shoes without fully understanding how deep the problems are and how much responsibility actually goes into that job.
Eric?
Well, whoever wins, the next mayor is going to have a huge issue on their hands day one, and that is the pension crisis.
$260 million due in October.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge
deal.
That's
just payment number one.
That and, you know, with some 2,800 folks killed in the city this year. I mean, between the crime and the fiscal solvency of the city, those are two huge issues that somebody has to get to work on, and that is not going to be easy to solve, neither one of them. There are a lot of tough choices.
One more in there, though, the population lost. I mean, you've got a census that's coming up very, very quickly. And if anyone knew how to game the census, it was Mayor Daley. He understood how to game that system, understood how to get people, made sure everyone was counted. And a new mayor coming into that situation, not understanding the crime situation, the pension situation, or how critically important it is to have that census done, reflecting what Chicago actually is, leaves a big gap that a mayor like Emanuel was able to handle.
I thought it was interesting. The mayor came out, what it was, a week, 10 days ago, talking about some ways to solve the pension issue, talking about a 20 to 30 cent gas tax, All things that if any of the current candidates talked about would probably ensure their demise. They would never win because that would all be used against them. But something has to give here. Something's got to be done.
Although I thought it was interesting as far as it relates to the pension issue, is what he was advocating is something that's of very dubious constitutionality. And if we keep playing this game of passing something and 2 years later it gets struck down as unconstitutional, you haven't really moved the ball. And part of the problem that we're in is because we've kicked it down the road for so long.
That makes it so important that the next mayor of Chicago, whoever he or she is, has to have a very good relationship with the governor and also has to be able to build a good relationship with the speaker in order to move the kind of legislation forward to save the third largest city in the country. I mean, I think we as well as what's going on in the state, you've got an infrastructure. We call ourselves a city of transportation, but our bridges, our rail, our roads are crumbling. And these are not only taxes that are being used to fix that infrastructure, but it's also the jobs that are connected to transportation. You know, and I think, again, specifically since the mayor dropped out, the things that this mayor has been saying, if you follow what his press has been, are just a complete laundry list of issues that this next administration is going to have to take care of, not only in Chicago, but also in Springfield.
You're listening to The Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Skyline Studio by Brian Bernadoni from the Realtors and Eric Elk from Fulcrum, Illinois, as we kind of take a look at the year in review on this pre-holiday edition. And I don't think you can talk about the year in politics without talking about the defeat of Joe Berrios, the Cook County Democratic chairman, Fritz Kagi, the new assessor. That changes up kind of an established status quo. It also raises questions about, you know, what is the Democratic Party organization these days?
Yeah, to knock out a party chairman, especially in Cook County, is a huge thing. And I think as we start moving forward, the real shift, I think, and you hit it right out of the park, is the idea of status quo is no more. Any analysis of what's going on with the Democratic Party's now got to be forward-looking, because there's all new connections everywhere. You've got President Preckwinkle now holds reins over Cook County Board as well as her party, and you haven't seen that kind of consolidation of power in this city in decades.
Well, I mean, when asked about running for mayor, and her response was, because I can't.
That's right. It's a game changer in a lot of ways, because the party establishment, once Joe got beat, that affects some ward races that are happening right now. It affects Springfield. It shows a huge crack between West Side and South Side African American political leaders. Also, a split between the Mexican and Puerto Rican blocks within the city council. So there's still a lot of, I hate using the phrase, but a lot of collateral on the street that still needs to be figured out. And I don't think we're going to figure out a lot of that until February or as late as April. The fallout's real. It's also an opportunity, you know, with every bad situation within a party, there's also good situations. And I think when you start taking a look at some of the suburban turnout, you might start seeing a bigger push from some of the suburban committeemen to say, you know what, we're relevant in this party as well, and we're going to step up.
Well, I mean, I'm curious about, you know, almost in some respects, are we seeing a realignment in the Democratic Party.
The progressive movement is real. Any longtime listener of this program knows I've talked about what's going on with the progressive aspect of the Democratic Party. And I think the same splits that we're seeing, that we saw within the GOP, between the more moderate Republicans and
we're establishment versus insurgent kind of thing.
Yeah, we're seeing the same thing in the Democratic Party, and there's not a lot of room for centrists either in the Democratic or Republican Party right now in Illinois. And a loss by a guy like Joe Berrios, who was a centrist, hits a lot of us pretty hard if you play in that middle range.
But with that lack of centrist and centrism, I guess, isn't that just keep our politics from being so divided? We can't get back.
It deepens the divide. It continues to push everyone, further to the left or further to the right, and you have fewer and fewer folks coming together. You think about it now, I don't think there are any members of the House or Senate Republican caucuses in this state that are pro-choice. There used to be so many members who were pro-choice, those moderates who could come together and work really well across the aisle on various issues. We're finding that is fewer and fewer. It's harder to find now. And you have to build that trust and work across the aisle.
And put that in the framework of, again, the book on Rahm Emanuel is not entirely closed yet, but there was a legacy of him bringing in businesses into Chicago. It's one of his main talking points, that we're bringing in Fortune 100 companies, yada, yada, yada. But the fact of the matter is, when you have this much uncertainty in Springfield and this much uncertainty in Chicago, that's not the kind of environment that businesses want to come into. You add to the uncertainty of how the new assessor is going to implement his changes. I think, we've got some rough waters before we hit the placid waters you need to ensure that Chicago is bringing in robust businesses, not only corporate, but also hopefully manufacturing or industrial things that we've been losing to other states. You lose 48,000 people, that's the equivalent to losing Palatine, and that stuff starts adding up in a real way.
Well, we're definitely on track to lose another congressional seat.
At least one.
At least, potentially two, yeah. I mean, and you've had Greg Bays, president of IMA, on a number of times where he has talked about how this has really taken a hit to the manufacturers in this state and to the employers, the job creators.
Well, and obviously, even if there's a situation of higher taxes or whatever, it's a certainty provides a certain confidence level. You may not like the tax rates, but what's lacking just seems to be that kind of certainty. And I think that's what we're especially seeing on the city level. I mean, obviously the state level is, and in talking to some of the Republican leaders, it's kind of like, well, so far we'll take him for his word. We'll take Pritzker for his word. Obviously, there's going to be some fights that are going to happen. A Democratic governor, a Democratic legislature, a Republican-oriented business community, there are going to be fights. But even in those members in the community, Rob Carr from the retail merchants, it's like, we have been told we'll have a seat at the table. We think we have somebody who does business who knows that they need to listen.
Well, we can't look at Illinois in a vacuum anymore either. I mean, if there was a message coming from the business community, it would be exactly that. When you have an aggressive governor like you have in Indiana, when you have aggressive governors like you have in Wisconsin, we're fooling ourselves if we don't think that these governors aren't taking a look at the uncertainty that's happening in Illinois and in Chicago politics, going, this is a great opportunity for us to start really talking to these people, these businesses, to come to our state, because we can provide one thing that they can't, which is some predictability in what's going to be happening moving forward.
The biggest challenge, and I hope that Governor-elect Pritzker will be much better than the outgoing governor, and that is being able to work with folks on the other side. I felt that Governor Rauner did not do a good job, even with folks within his own party. He wasn't an honest broker. Going back to Governor Thompson, Governor Edgar, they were able to work across the aisle, and their word was their bond. And that is very important. And I think that we need to get back to that, where folks take someone at their word and they're able to work with them and trust that they're not going to be double dealing and all this other nonsense.
That's Eric Elk, founder and president of Fulcrum Illinois, a subsidiary of the Manufacturers Association. Also joining us on the show today, Brian Bernadoni, senior director of government affairs and public policy for the Chicago Association of Realtors.
You know what really is certain?
What's certain?
Every Saturday night you get Svengoolie. That's what's certain.
There it is. There's the obligatory Svengoolie plug. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and they'll be back next Sunday as well as we talk about what lies ahead for 2019. Thank you again.
Thanks a lot.
You.